What a pleasure to have you with us on An Uplifting Word today. Dee and I are going to share with you a message entitled, Yielding Yourself to God's High Expectations. Yielding yourself to God's high expectations. The human race fell into all kinds of sin quickly after Adam and Eve rebelled against the Lord. Things went from bad to worse. People were living in hopelessness. Millions of people were living on the earth, but had no hope of going any place with the true God. They didn't know the true God, including a man named Abraham. But God began an expectation heightening program with Abraham. God began building into Abraham a program of heightening his expectations to start expecting good things from life and from God. Most people were just loaded down with guilt, loaded down with sin, loaded down with all kinds of difficulties. But God began speaking to Abraham. And listen to what he said to this man who had no children. Genesis 15, verse 18.
On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates.
God began speaking of Abraham's descendants, even though he and Sarah had no children. And God said, I'm going to give your descendants all this land. Seemed absolutely incredible, unbelievable. But God was determined to build and heighten Abraham's expectations for good. Listen to these words. Genesis 17, verse 2.
I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers.
I will confirm my covenant and greatly increase your numbers. Gradually, Abraham began believing the Lord with all his heart. Even though God's promises seemed so outlandish. Well, here now we have God's promise to Jacob, Abraham's grandson. Listen to this. Now, Jacob is a young man, unmarried, running for his life. And here's what God said in Genesis 28, verse 13 and 14.
There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring.
Three times the Lord refers to Jacob's descendants and offspring. God was saying, get your hopes up, Jacob. Start looking to me, Jacob, and you'll find that you can be a person full of hope. Well, here was God's words now, through Jacob's son Joseph. Genesis 50, verse 24.
Joseph said to his brothers, God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Here again, we see a man, Joseph, speaking of good things to come, even though it looked like nothing good was happening. So God took hundreds of years, and through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, he promised over and over to give his people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them the promised land, and through their descendants, to bless the entire world. But whenever Moses led the Hebrews to the border of Canaan, God's people yielded themselves to low expectations. They had all kinds of reasons to expect better than the best and more than the most, but they chose to reject high expectations and yield themselves to low expectations. Numbers chapter 13, verse 31.
The men who had gone up with him said, We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.
Here they ignored all the promises God had given their ancestors and all the miracles God had promised and performed in Egypt and in the desert. And they said, we can't take the land. We can't do it. And so they received what they expected. Nothing. But there were two believers among these millions of Israelis, two believers in the Lord, Joshua and Caleb. And they yielded themselves to God's high expectations. They yielded themselves to hopefulness. And in spite of all the obstacles in their way, and the way of the Israelis blocking their entrance into the Canaan land, these two men said what we're going to read from Numbers chapter 13, verse 30.
Then Caleb said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it."
What hope! What expectation for good and success! They received what they expected. Joshua and Caleb were the only two Israelis out of all those millions who received what they expected. Well, everybody received what they expected. The unbelievers received nothing. Joshua and Caleb inherited the land. So, brother, sister, we need to look at the Scripture and see how we can yield ourselves to high expectations, to the high expectations God gives us. First of all, we want to resist our natural human expectations. You see, humans are naturally hostile toward God and His promises. That's just the way we are. That's the nature of being a sinner. In fact, let's read Romans chapter 8, verse number 7.
The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so.
Our minds cannot submit to God's law, to His promises, to His person. And so our minds reject His promises when they seem so far from being fulfilled. And that's what happened. These people God brought out of Egypt, they yielded themselves to their low expectations. Now, Moses tried valiantly to help the people resist their human nature. Their human nature, which said, our children and our wives are going to be destroyed by the sword. We'll never possess the land. Moses appealed to them. Listen to what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30 and 31.
The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as He did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place.
Here Moses appealed to the people. Don't you remember what God did for you? Don't you recall the miracles of Egypt? Don't you recall all He did for us in the desert? How He's sustained us and supported us and helped us and protected us. He was saying, resist your fears and believe the Lord's promises He gave to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. It's going to be all right. Everything's going to turn out fine. But they refuse to resist their low expectations. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 26.
But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God.
You rebelled. You refused to go up. You would not go up because they yielded themselves to their human nature. Now, brother, sister, you might be a longtime Christian. You love the Lord. You fellowship with the body of Christ. You read the Word, and yet, brother, sister, we still all have that Adamic nature, that nature we received from our ancestor Adam, and we have to resist it. No matter how long you've known the Lord, that nature's still in there, and we have to learn to resist it and say no to the fears we feel. We have to say no whenever we expect the worst, whenever all our inner parts say, things are not going to get better. You can't expect anything more than what you have. Why should you believe God now? He's already let you down. You have to say no to all those feelings and to all those fears. When Dolores and I decided to leave the church we had pastored for 15 years and go to Asia as missionaries, we were going without the support of a national missions board. We felt that they had already turned us down once because of my legal blindness, and so we thought, well, there's no use calling them again. So we were planning to go to Asia on our own. We were having trouble, though, leaving the church we had pastored such a long time, the church that loved us, and we loved them, and financially, spiritually, numerically, everything was great. But still, there was that fear of cutting ourselves off from our support system, financially and from the people we loved. We were planning on moving to Houston and living on our savings account until God took us the next step, and we didn't really know what the next step was. Anyway, before we left our town, the Lord helped me with two wonderful verses. Why don't you write down Ezra chapter 3, verse number 3. You see, I had felt for years that if you experienced any fear, you weren't living in faith. And so I was expecting to get rid of the fears I felt, the fears of living on our savings account and without any certain future ahead of us. I thought that when you had faith, you had no fear, but I read Ezra 3:3, and it says, "Despite their fears, they built the altar on its foundation." The Jewish people had returned to Jerusalem after the 70-year exile, and there they found a demolished city and many, many opponents and enemies who were against them. But it says that despite their fears, it didn't say they had no fear. No, they had fears galore. But in spite of their fears, they built the altar on its foundation. They did God's will. They pursued God's will, even though they felt fear. So, brother, sister, you need to do the same thing whenever you feel low expectations. Whenever you are afraid to do God's will, to take a step of faith, to risk everything, and you feel afraid, don't worry about it. Just go ahead and do the will of God in spite of the fears you feel, and He will come through for you big time. Because your God is infinite, He will come through with more than the most and better than the best. That's just His nature. That's His style. Another verse that helped me so much, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 5. Paul wrote that every place around them was hostile. He said, without were conflicts and within were fears. But in spite of the conflicts around them and the fears within them, they pursued doing the ministry God had assigned them. Well, you can do the same thing. We resist our human nature, which is hostile to God's promises, which wants to convince us that God's promises can never come to pass, He can never make a way, He can never provide, He can never change things for the better. We want to say no to that human nature and say yes to the promises God gave us. Okay, so we yield ourselves to God's high expectations by, first of all, resisting our natural low expectations. Don't listen to people. Don't listen to people whenever they tell you what you can't do and why you can't do it. And don't listen to people whenever they say, oh, you're this and you're that and you're nothing. Don't listen. You listen to the Word of God. Okay. After we say no to our naturally low expectations, we decide to surrender ourselves to God's high expectations. We decide to surrender ourselves to God's high expectations. You see, God's size expectations never fit into human size logic. Let's do that again. God-sized expectations, God-sized promises never fit into human-sized logic. God's promises seem illogical, unreasonable. But we're going to accept them. We're going to say yes to them. You see, most humans reject God-sized promises. Let's read again, Numbers chapter 13, verse number 31. Here it's talking about God's people, not unbelievers, not Amalekites or Jebusites, but we're talking about Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here's what they said, Numbers 13, verse 31.
The men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are."
All they could talk about is what they could not do. We can't attack those people. So you see, brother, sister, our naturally low expectations always concentrate on what we cannot do, and they never consider what God can do. So most people reject his promises. Listen to this from the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 21 and 22.
Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth.
Jesus promised this young man treasure in heaven, eternal treasures, treasures that never diminish but always increase. But this young man, he decided to hold on to temporary treasures that moth and rust can ruin. He didn't listen to God's size promises because he gave himself to human size ideas. And I'll tell you, our human size ideas are always small. But believers choose to yield to God's expectations. We might feel low expectations. We might be attacked by discouragement, but we say no to them and we choose. The key word is choose to yield to God's expectations. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 30.
Then Caleb said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it."
That's it. Some of the believers said, "We can't." Some others said, "We can." So who was right? The ones who yielded to God's promises, and to God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all their descendants. And they believed God's expectations. And Joshua and Caleb partook of the promised land. You see, brother, sister, believers can't figure things out. Believers can't figure things out, neither can unbelievers. The difference is that we figure on God's help. When you can't figure life out, when you can't figure out how God can make things better for you, quit trying to figure it out and start just figuring on God's help. Rely on the Lord with all your heart. Trust in Him with all your heart. He'll come through for you because you are a believer and not a doubter. Oh, you might feel doubt, but you say no to it and go on in faith. Listen to Psalms 118, verse 6.
"The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?"
Let's do that again. "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid." A choice to not fear. Look at verse number 7.
"The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies."
Don't you like that? "The Lord is with me. He is my helper." So the psalmist was quitting his effort to figure things out and said, "God, I can't figure things out. I can't see how you can help me overcome this great enemy. I can't see how you can make things better for me. But I figure on your help. The Lord is with me. He is my helper." Brother, sister, make that your motto. "The Lord is with me. He is my help." Psalm 118, verse number 7. Yielding enables us to step out of human-sized logic into God-sized logic. Yielding to God's promises, yielding to His promises of better things to come, enables us to step out of human-sized logic into God-sized logic. Listen to this, Psalm 31, verse 19.
How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you.
It's a long verse. Let's take the first half of it first.
How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you.
Did you hear that? How great is your goodness? We don't know how great it is. We just know it's immeasurable. He says, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, for those who respect you and your promises. Why shouldn't we step into God-sized logic, the logic that told Abraham, your descendants are going to possess the land. Your descendants are going to bless the earth. Whenever Abraham had no children, whenever Sarah was barren. Let's read the last half of Psalm 31, verse 19.
Which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you.
How great is your goodness, which you bestow, not withhold. How great is your goodness, which you bestow on those who take refuge in you. So, brother, sister, that's what trust is. Trust takes refuge in God. So, brother, sister, that's what we do. Quit trying to figure life out and just figure on God's help. Listen to Proverbs 23, verse 18.
There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off.
Isn't that great? There is surely a future hope for you. It doesn't say maybe there's a future hope for you. Possibly. There's a 50-50 chance. No. It says there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen to this. Proverbs 24, verse 14.
Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off.
Same promise, second time. Your hope will not be cut off. Your future hope. Let me give you those verses again. Proverbs 23:18 and Proverbs 24:14. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us.
Did you hear that, my brother, sister? God is able, even willing and desirous to give you more than you ever imagined possible, more than you could ever hopefully ask for. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Here the scripture says, he who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us, how will he not along with him also give us all other things? So you see, all of these promises are God's expectation heightening program. He's trying to build into you high expectations for yourself, both in this life and in the coming life, both in this age and in all the future ages. So, brother, sister, we want to live by God's promises and forget about our human explanations. Let me say it one more time. Don't try figuring God's promises out. Just figure on God's help. God will fulfill His promises. It is His responsibility to fulfill His own word. It isn't your responsibility. It isn't your assignment. Brother, sister, God never gave us His promises for us to fulfill them and make them come to pass. No, He gave us His promises so we could believe them. And as we believe them, then He, by His own sovereign power, brings them to pass. Those people who surrender themselves to God's high expectations go beyond their mind. Faith is not going out of our mind. Faith in God is going beyond our mind. So, brother, sister, don't think you're crazy. Don't let people tell you you're crazy to believe in Jesus or believe in eternal life or believe in divine healing or believe in forgiveness of sins. Don't let them tell you you're crazy. You're not crazy. You're going beyond your mind. You have not gone out of your mind. Listen to this. Book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse number 9.
Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.
The Lord is with us, Joshua declared. The Lord is with us, so do not be afraid to have high expectations. Overcome your fear of expecting God to do good and great and marvelous and wonderful things for you. In fact, it should become our natural inclination to expect God to do better than the best. I recall one time that Dolores and I were going to make a trip by car to her state of Arkansas. We were going to travel from South Texas to Arkansas for Christmas. A terrific storm came through, and they were putting out all kinds of warnings about travel on the news. And Dolores was so disappointed that we couldn't go. And she asked me, "Do you think we should go to Arkansas?" And I said, "You know, Dolores, God always makes things turn out better than we expect." And we went, had a great time. Brother, sister, it should become our nature to expect God to make things turn out better than we ever dreamed. Now, it will take some development on your part. You'll have to develop these high expectations, this inclination to expect the best instead of the worst, but you can do it. Listen to this verse. This is from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23. I love it. The Lord says, "You will know that I am the Lord." Now listen to this, brother, sister. "You will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed." Isaiah 49, verse 23. "Those who hope in me will not be disappointed." Let's make that our theme verse for the whole week. Let's go to the Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your help, for your blessing, and for your word. In the wonderful name of the Lord, we expect better than the best and more than the most. Amen.